Good evening, Virginia Dale. Really excited to be with you this Sunday evening, and it's a special day today. It is Father's Day. I've been a father almost 5 years, and so we're going to be speaking just a Father's Day message. So I've only been a father almost 5 years, so don't judge me. I'm not an expert, but we're just going to look at just some verses of just what God's Word says and just some Christian counsel. In fatherhood. And, you know, I was thinking about this as I got started. You know, we're coming out of this COVID thing. There's inflation going on in the world. There's viruses. We have problems in the world. People are worried about the future of America, the future of the world. But one of the biggest pandemics that I see going on in the world right now, that's causing incarcerations, it's causing addiction, it's causing confusion. There's one common theme that almost all school shooters have in common as well, is the absence of a good father. Did you know that? I have a friend, his name's John Smith Baker. He used to be the CEO of Brunton Binoculars, which was based out in Riverton, Wyoming. And he grew up a fatherless boy, and he had an interesting stat. He said 90% of fatherless boys usually end up just doing a lot of rebellious, bad things, whether it's drugs, prison, dropping out of high school. And then 10%, though, will become some of the most driven human beings on the face of the planet because they're yearning for somebody to give them affection and success. And so it becomes this idol to become the top of the game. And so John said his goal was to become the richest, most powerful man there was, so he would never have to depend on anybody. He didn't want God. He didn't need a dad. He was going to make it himself. He became very rich, very successful, took Brunton Binoculars to the top. And one day, he was driving down a Wyoming road, listening to a Christian sermon, a pastor, and he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. He pulled over on the side of the road, and he gave his life to Jesus. And he realized he couldn't be there anymore. And God put on his heart to start a ministry. He ran into another pastor in Lander, Wyoming, named Scott McNaughton, who in seminary school, somewhere in Kentucky, he wrote a paper on starting a ministry for fatherless boys. So they started this ministry together called Fathers in the Field. It's actually now based in Fort Collins. But their whole goal is that you can eventually forgive your earthly father, be free from them, because we all make mistakes, and be connected to our heavenly father. And but for those of you in here who are fathers, I'm going to encourage you and challenge you. For those of you in here who maybe you just the name father just brings up pain to you because you haven't had a good experience, first of all, I want to say I'm really sorry that was your experience. And thankfully, through Jesus Christ, he reconciles us to the best dad ever. And he welcomes us in by faith in Christ. So before we get into this message, let's pray. Father, we thank you for that you've made us men and women. Thank you for fathers. Lord, we know because of sin, authority and power and all those things can be twisted, and it's not what it's supposed to be. And so I pray, Jesus, that you help us be men of God, that you help us be men who are supposed to represent you, Father, as someone who cares, protects, provides in so many ways. So, Jesus, I pray that your Spirit would be with us. Open our eyes to see you and your word clearly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So yeah, there's a battle going on, and I think Satan knows if he can take out the man of the house, it'll be a little bit easier to prey on everybody else. This is a real battle today. And so the first verse that we're going to look at today is from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And I love this verse. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." Some verses, some translations say wrath. "But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." I read a really interesting book. Maybe you guys have heard of the counselor and Christian author Gary Smalley. He's written lots of books. And he wrote a book called The Key to Your Child's Heart. And I needed that book because my second child, the middle child, she's way different than our oldest one. My oldest one, if I even threatened to spank her, she's like, "Dad, I'll stop right now." And she's so sensitive. But our middle child, she's like, if I spank her, she's like, "Bring it on, Dad. That doesn't stop me or hurt me. I don't care." So I have had to learn her heart, and I need to take things away from her. She's different. And so this book helped me tremendously. And he said, every single family gravitates towards one of these three. The family you grew up in, the family you have now, your wife's family, He said, some families tend to be overly strict. And this is one of the ways that you can provoke your children to anger. We need boundaries. We need rules. But the main goal is not to get a bunch of rule followers. It's really the main goal is to get them to fall in love with Jesus. But if you give your kid way too many rules, and maybe you guys have been in a work environment like that where somebody was always looking over your shoulder, always criticizing you, always checking what you were doing, it makes your life a little bit difficult, and it actually makes you want to rebel, right? Which is why I love Jesus. When he came on the scene, he said, really, there's two laws now, the law of love. Love God and love others. It's not all about following rules. Yeah, we need rules for our kids, but if we have 150 rules for everything, it can actually make your children more rebellious. Rules can actually do that. And so one of my friends, he said, the best thing we can do as a parent is be like a referee when it comes to rules. You know, if you're, you know, when you're watching football and they throw the flag, do you ever see the referee get angry and throw a fit when the football player breaks the rule? No, he's just like, yeah, 15-yard penalty, but I'm not going to get angry. And so this book said the main thing we need to do as dads, when our kids do break the rules, be like a referee. Don't emotionally get angry. Don't shame them. Don't get so upset. That will actually cause your child to be rebellious. So yeah, we need to give consequences. We need to discipline our children, but like a referee. So the next thing that we can gravitate towards that's just as bad is being overly permissive. And this is when kids don't have any rules, don't have any boundaries, and it can actually make them more rebellious. Kids actually want boundaries. It's one of the ways they know they're loved. I remember growing up in middle school, it was when video games were coming out, and so I don't think parents really know how to have boundaries for that, but you remember like mature video games, right? It's like 17 plus. But I would buy those as like a middle school boy, and these games were like graphic, brutal, and terrifying, and it kind of messed me up. I remember having trouble sleeping, and I was with a friend, and I was like, oh, this game's awesome, and he said, my parents don't let me play mature video games. And I kind of made fun of him. I was like, you're a loser, whatever. But then, you know what? Deep in my heart, I was like, I wish I had that boundary too. I wish my parents loved me that way, that they were actually concerned about what I was doing on my computer, what I was doing on my cell phone, what I was doing with video games, that actually will make a child feel loved. And so I know your kids are going to have smartphones, Instagram, social media, all of these things. And my advice to you is be very involved in what they're doing and what they're looking at, because there are a million messages being thrown their way. That's not the Christian message. And so be involved. Don't be overly permissive. The next one is being overly neglectful. And maybe you guys have had a mom or dad that just weren't emotionally present. They didn't take time to listen, or they didn't take time to spend quality time with children. And guys, honestly, we can get so involved in our work, so involved in the things going on. I have trouble just turning off, sitting down, and talking to my kids. Sometimes my kids will be talking to me. I'm in the room, but my mind is somewhere completely different. And so we need to, as dads, not neglect our children, but spend quality time with them. Make an effort to do that. Get off your phone. Check how much screen time usage you're doing. Sit with your kids and listen to them. And one of the things that I do with my kids, and you guys should do this, might be different with boys. I don't know if you want to call it a date, Chad. Take your kids on some dates. But with my girls, is I just take them each on a one-on-one date, and we go do something fun. I connect. I ask them good questions. And I know that's going to just build them up. Because if kids are not going to get affirmation from their dad, they're going to probably try to get it from somebody else. They're going to, you know, that boy's going to come up and say, ooh, you're good looking. And they're like, oh, I really want that affirmation. And they can gravitate towards some dark paths if they're not getting that from their parents. So those are three things not to do. And this is fun. I have a friend, and this is his counseling advice as a pastor. He said, three things that we need to do as parents through their stages of life. I love this one. We need to be a cop, and then a coach, and then a counselor. So you start out 1 to 10, you do need to be a cop. You can play good cop, bad cop, but your job, hold up boundaries and enforce the rules. Remember, like the referee, don't get too emotionally upset. Just hand them the discipline, hand them the ticket, and get on with your life. But now when kids, you know, start to get into their teenage years, about 10 to 17, you need to take the role as a coach. Let your kids go out a little bit more. Be their biggest encouragement. Sometimes you do need to bench them, though, right? when a player messes up, man, you need to sit on the bench, right? But the goal is to get them back onto the field, and you allow them to fail, you allow them to learn, you allow them to grow. And then the last thing is, once kids reach 17, 18, you need to be their counselor, which means you are going to have to wait for them to come for you, to you for help. You can't be telling your kids what to do once they hit their 19, 20, or they're going to want nothing to do with you. But be available, let them know, I love you, I support you, I'm here for you. Please come to me if you need anything. And then that can become a really, really fun relationship. All right, the second verse we're going to look at is 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And it says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Man, that is some harsh words that Paul has. But I see this as a pandemic in young men today, so I want to speak to the men in the room and to the young men. It's scary to provide for other people, let alone provide for yourself. You have to take responsibility. You're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to move out of your parents' house someday. You're going to have to trust that God has work for you to do. And a lot of guys don't trust God, that God is going to provide for them, and they stay in their parents' house. I've seen guys all the way into their late 20s and 30s still living at their parents' house, don't want to get a job because they're just terrified. And you know what? The Bible promises in Ephesians that God has work for you to do, and He will provide for you. It might not be easy, but that's the best way you can grow. Have your own family and provide for them. And so, guys, we also need to be really wise stewards as fathers with our time, our talents, our treasures, our energy. We only have so much, but if we put it all into balance, we can be good dads, can be good employees, good husbands as well. I recently was talking to a young man. He always had to have the nicest, newest truck. Didn't even have a job, though. And he would go into debt and get these really nice vehicles. And I was like, why don't you just drive a beater till you have a job at least, you know? No, I need that nice truck. And I thought, well, why do you need it? Some type of insecurity that he had to have this thing. Then what was sad is when he got married and he wanted to get a house, guess what? He said, your credit is terrible, man. I can't give you a house. And I was like, man, you know, see what this is doing. Your bad stewardship is affecting not only you, but your marriage and your future children because of how you've handled money. But if we're content and we know God loves us, look, we're always going to have to go into a little bit of debt. But if we always have to go into massive debt for our toys and our hobbies and things like that, some of that's okay. Don't get me wrong. God wants us to enjoy creation. But if it takes a toll on your family, that's when you need to say, do I really need this? What's more important to me? My image and how other people see me, or actually providing for my own children? The next thing that fathers are called to do is to protect. And I think the main thing that we need to do is protect our children from the lies of the enemy that are everywhere in the world right now. I told you guys the story of the transgenderism that was being taught at Wellington School, and kids were hearing this message, how they can be whatever they want. It was mostly teenage girls uncomfortable in their body, and then they were told, well, if you're uncomfortable in your body as a teenage girl, it means you're actually a boy. So girls are now saying, I'm actually a boy, I need to change because I don't want to be uncomfortable in my body anymore. But guys, we have the opportunity to come along, especially as fathers, and affirm our children's identity, whether male or female. And if you can look at your daughter and say, you are beautiful, you're made in the image of God, God made you that way, you do not need to change your sex to try to find your identity. It's not going to work. And so we get to protect our children from the lies of the enemy. We get to protect them from bitterness. And one of the ways we can do this as fathers is to always apologize. If you can't apologize to your kids, you need to, because it will cause bitterness and hurt. I know some of you might be thinking, man, I wish my dad would just say sorry to me. Or I wish that guy who really hurt me would just call me and say, I am so sorry that I did that to you. I did this. Will you forgive me? And so one of the things that we can do to always protect our home is be the first ones to apologize to your kids when you screw up, to your spouse when you screw up. That way bitterness does not grow in the family. Apologize often. The next thing we need to do as fathers is pursue. I love what Ephesians 5:25 says. It says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Now, when we pursue our spouse, we actually reflect Jesus' heart that he came down to save us. And the main thing that your kids are going to be looking at is what you're living for and what you're dying for. And they're going to tell. They're going to know what you're living for and what you're dying for by everything you say, every decision you make. They're watching you. And so, fathers, we have a unique opportunity. If we genuinely cherish our wife, we love them and pursue them, it's actually going to make our children feel comfortable, secure, because they know that that relationship's not going to be broken. And that's a child's great fear, is that the dad is going to leave. And if they have that fear, they're really going to have to press into the Lord, but they're going to be afraid. And when you're afraid, it's hard to focus on other things. It's hard to focus on algebra homework. It's hard to focus on sports. It's hard to focus on relationships if you don't know your parents' relationship is solid. So one of the best things we can do for our children is work on our marriage. And I think it starts with us husbands, that we actually need to pursue our wives. It's not an easy thing to do, especially if you've been married for a long time. Maybe it was easy to pursue in the engagement and the dating season. But, you know, once you've been married 5-10 years, you're like, well, I already got her, so do I really need to pursue her? And so my advice is keep dating your wife. It might cost money for a babysitter, but it'll be the most, you know, the best effective thing you can do with your money. Once or twice a week, literally hire a babysitter, pay for them, find someone in the church, and take your wife out for a date. Ask her questions, listen to her, have a good steak or whatever it is that she likes to eat. Spend a little money. It's worth it. That might be better than even having a fat, big retirement, is that you got to take your wife out for dinner. So invest in that big time. All right, the next thing, I love this, is what David said to his son Solomon in 1 Kings 2:2. He said, "I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man." And I love that King David prepared so much for David, his son. He prepared the path for them. And I tell that to my kids all the time. I say, this is all yours. Take care of it. I'm going to die someday. You get my house. You get the inheritance. This is all yours. So learn to take care of it. And that's our goal with our kids. We eventually want to hand everything off to them. But if you give it to them too quick, they're going to squander it. They're going to ruin it. So you prepare them through life, that at some point you can actually hand everything off to them and they're going to multiply it and let it flourish. One of the things that we can definitely do as dads is prepare our kids for marriage. One of the things that we need to do as dads is take the initiative and have the awkward conversations and talk about sex in the house. I know it might make everyone really uncomfortable, but I guarantee the more you talk about sex in the house, the healthier your kids are going to be, because they're going to hear it from their friends. And if that's the first person they hear it from, they're going to get some really weird things going on. But if you're talking about sex all the time with your kids, it can create very healthy boundaries and relationships for them. One of my favorite pastors, Pastor Ken, he had 4 children. All of them saved themselves for marriage. And I got to see how he parented. And he talked to his kids constantly about sex. It honestly made me really uncomfortable when I was at their house. I was like, why is he talking about sex? This is making me red. We didn't do that in my house, okay? But me and my siblings didn't do nearly as good as these kids as far as purity went. And so I want to encourage you, fathers, talk to your kids about sex, even if it's awkward and uncomfortable. The other day, my dog is not neutered, and my other dog was in heat, and my dog was, you know, doing the thing to the other dog, and all my kids were watching. And they're like, "Dad, what is he doing?" And I said, "That they're making babies. Isn't that awesome?" And they were like, "What?" And so, you know, even at their age, we're going to talk about it, just so it's not some evil, bad thing. The other way that we can prepare our children is to create a culture where we can confess sin. When I was a youth pastor, there were a lot of kids who said, they can come to me and confess their sin, and they said, "I could never tell my parents this, though." And I was like, "Why don't you tell your parents?" They said, "They'll kill me." And I was like, "Well, they're your biggest advocates. You need to tell them. And if you don't tell them, I'm going to go tell them." The kids always hated that. But, you know, when your kids confess sin to you, you want to create that environment that you don't destroy them. It might hurt so bad on the inside, and you might want to punch them or slap them. But you just listen. You say, "I love you. I forgive you. Thank you for sharing that with me. let's go forward together. Let's do this as a team. And I learned this from one of my friends, Jay. One of his boys came to him and said, he just said, son, how are you doing with your purity? And his teenage boy said, dad, I'm not doing good. I've been watching a lot of inappropriate things on my phone. And he broke his dad's heart, right? But he didn't get angry. He didn't shame him. He said, I love you, son. And do you know that God forgives you? Let's pray right now and confess that. And I want you to know, son, I'm here for you. I don't want you to have to hide this from me anymore. I want to be on your team, and I want to prepare you for marriage. So let's go through this together. And so now if he's struggling, guess what? He can share that with his dad, and he doesn't have to hide. But if we have to hide things from the people closest to us in our family, it becomes a place where you actually can't conquer that sin. That sin will have so much power over you that you won't be able to repent of it. But if you can share it with somebody close or someone close in your family, it will actually give you the power to be free of it because you're bringing it to the light. And anytime we bring something that's dark to the light overcomes the darkness. And so that's the environment that we need to have. And for those of you here who need a heavenly father who loves you, I love the story of the prodigal son. You know, the younger boy, he went off and lived, you know, bad living. He was, you know, being accused of spending all his money on drunkenness and prostitutes, and was eventually his life came caving in, and he was feeding with the pigs in the pig pen. And he was a complete mess. Think of a guy who sleeps and lives with pigs. How disgusting they are. How smelly they are. I mean, you can smell a pig, you guys know, from a mile away, right? You know, right? And so what's interesting is when the prodigal son came to his senses and he ran back to his father, the father was waiting. And he didn't mind the smell. He didn't mind the mess. He actually ran to his son and he held him and he embraced him, despite the mess that was all over him. And that's our Heavenly Father. Thanks to Jesus, who took our mess and nailed it to the cross, God will always come to you. And so as fathers, the last thing I want to encourage you, even if your kids walk away from the Lord, even if your kids do something that's completely terrible, even if your kids vote for the other political party, don't cut them off. Don't disown them. Love them. Wait for them to return. Let them know you're always there for them. That doesn't mean you support their sin, encourage their sin, or let them move in with you to support their bad habits. But it just shows you have a love as a father that is unconditional, that no matter what happens, you will love them unconditionally. And if we can show our children that, it might just show them a little picture of who God is in heaven. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the best father, that you're not afraid of us. You're not afraid of our sin. You gladly welcome sinners in. And we thank you for your son, Jesus, dying on the cross for us, that he could clean us, make us pure, and let us enter into that relationship with you. And Father, now that you are our heavenly father, we thank you for your spirit, that we have your nature, and we can actually start to resemble you, God. And we really need your help to resemble you, God, because our old nature, Lord, we tend to take that out on our children and our families. But I pray, God, you give everyone in here that new nature that we could replicate you and we could love our children well. We could love our spouses well. So I just want to pray for every father here, God, that you bless them. You give them wisdom. You give them humility and patience. And I want to pray for every future father here, God, that you prepare them, give them a support system, and fill them with your spirit as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On this one. Excuse me a minute. All right. Thank you, Keith. That message about sex and stuff. No, it's great that Jesus has a lot to teach us, right? He's got that spiritual thing, man. We don't fight battles with wars and weapons, but we, weapons of the hand, but we use spiritual weapons, right? Wow. So give me Jesus. Here we go.
In the morning when I rise,
guys. Just have a quick announcement and benediction. So I have some friends from Nashville, Tennessee. They're at seminary school right now, Southeastern Seminary, SBC Seminary. And in a couple years, how much longer until you're done with school?
A year and a half, 2 years.
Year and a half. They just have a heart for church planting and all the people moving out here. They just know there's a huge need. And so I would love if you guys would just join me in praying for Anna and Seth. And then I'll just do a short benediction. Let's pray for them. Lord, we thank you so much for Anna and Seth and just the calling on their life and just preparing them at seminary for what you have next for them. And God, I pray you're with them, that you equip them with every gift for everything they need to accomplish the work that you have for them. God, I pray you give them a location, you give them a team, you give them a passion, you bring healing to them, that, Lord, they could be sent out with power and health to really advance this gospel, that we could see churches planted and people set free. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, this benediction is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 22, and it says, "May the Lord be with your spirit, and may his grace be with all of you." Have a blessed week.